begin with Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able. A couple weeks ago we began series of messages based upon this passage of Scripture. There are many places in Scripture where we find that term, he is able. And we're basically looking at all the places where it is found that it has direct application to the time span that Paul deals with in this passage of Scripture. This is such a critical verse in the life of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man who gave it all that he had, held nothing back, left it all on the field for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think the sufferings of Paul and the greatness of that suffering is indicative of the fact that he had persecuted the Lord's people and persecuted the Lord's church. I think he probably suffered during his lifetime much because of the evil that he did against the Lord's people and the Lord's churches before the Lord saved him. So we could say that his suffering more than made up for the sin that was a part of his life. But his life more than made up also for the evil that he did against the Lord and the Lord's people and the Lord's churches. His life more than made up. He was a man who gave it all. And we find in this passage of Scripture the key, I think, to everything about the life of the Apostle Paul, his giving it all. I know whom he knew Jesus in a personal relationship. I know whom I have believed. I know who it was that spoke to me and made promises to me, who I have put my faith in, who I have believed what he had to say. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That thought, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed him is so key. If you want to think of it as what was the secret to his success, I believe it can be found in that statement. He believed God was able to keep those things that he had committed unto him. Over in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, I told you that 2 Timothy, as far as we know, is Paul's last communication with God's people. Be the last communication before he is ultimately martyred and put to death for Christ. And you can see that here in chapter 4. verse 5 through 8. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Of course, he's speaking directly to Timothy. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to die. I'm ever so near to the end of my life. I believe Paul knew he was drawing near and was ever so near to his being slain for Christ. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He knew who he had believed in, and he counted him able. That's what brought him to the point where at the end of his life he could say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I'm ready to go. And he gives words of instructions to Timothy to do likewise. Amen. So we can see him giving us instructions today to do likewise. If you want to be able to come to a point where you're ready to meet the Lord, if you want to come to the end of your life and be able to say, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I'm ready to go. If you want to get to that point, you're going to have to do likewise. You're going to have to do what Paul did. You're going to have to know the Lord Jesus Christ and have that intimate relationship with Him. You're going to have to know that you have made some promises and some commitments to Him, and He has made some promises and commitments to you when He saved your soul. And you've got to live your life believing that He is able to keep His word, or you're not going to amount to anything like the Apostle Paul did. Can you make the words of verse number 12 your own? Can you speak these words as though you're saying them and them be true concerning your confidence in God? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That day was the appearing of the Lord, or His appearing before the Lord, or the judgment seat of Christ. It's all of those things. When he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he had committed some things unto him. His life, his time, his salvation, his soul. He believed what Jesus had to say, and he committed all of those things to Christ. Deposited all of those things with Christ until the day he would see Christ. And that fourth chapter reveals to us he came to that place where he was ready to go. Can you make those words your own? He is able to keep that which we have committed until the day that we see him. Whatever the context might be of that, seeing him. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I believe he is able. As we have said several times of late, we'll say it again this morning, the truthfulness of such professions are found in our lives. See, Paul said these things he did in verse number 12, and he had his life, he had his record to prove. I'm ready to go. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Crown of victory, a crown of his conquering. Living his life well for Jesus' sake. And he's promised that crown to everyone who can say these words of themselves. He promises that crown to everyone who loves the appearing. Rather, that's you're going to be with him by death, his coming in the rapture to take us into his presence, or looking into a day when we would be in glory before him, or the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody who loves the thought of being in the presence of the Lord longs to see Jesus Christ, must live by that mantra, he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now last week, we considered the passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 2. Where we read those words, he is able to succor them. He's able to help. He's able to aid. He's able to relieve his people. As we have committed all these things that Paul had committed into the keeping of the Lord and had confidence that the Lord was going to keep those until the end, as we've committed those things to his keeping, we need to remind ourselves that he is able to help us. He's able to aid us. He's able to relieve us. From the moment that he first trusted Christ and believed the words that Jesus Christ said unto him, until the time of his death, the first time he looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he had committed all of that to the Lord. And as he went through those days, he knew and he believed in the one who was able to help him and aid him and relieve him. So we need to get a hold of this. If we're truly saved, we have committed some things to the Lord's keeping, and he is going to keep those until we're in his presence and we see him. But we have to live. We have to be here during those days while we're looking for the coming of the Lord. And we've got to believe he is able. And we've got to believe and understand he's able to help us. See, we're not on our own. We're not working under the power of the flesh. Our sufficiency is in Christ. He's able to help us. I kind of want to say God has set us on a course from the moment of our salvation to the moment that we see the Lord. He has set us on a course and he has guaranteed our successful voyage. And he's not only provided a guarantee for our successful voyage, but he's promised to provide all that we need on the journey. Get a hold of that. Believe in him who is able to keep that which you've committed unto him. Keep it until the journey's over. But understand that as you're on the journey, he's providing everything you need to get there. It's never about you. It's never about your own strength. It's never about getting something done in the flesh. But he is able to succor us, to aid, to help us, to relieve us. We come to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And the message this morning is He is able to do all that we ask. He is able to do all that we ask. Doesn't that amaze you? He is able, that's where the journey began, to keep that which we've committed unto the day that we see the Lord. As we're on this journey waiting to see the Lord, He is able to help us, to aid us, to relieve us. And as we're on this journey waiting to see the Lord, He is able to do all that we ask. All that we ask. And you're not going to make this journey without asking the Lord for some things. You're not going to make this journey without asking the Lord to help you. You're not going to make this journey without having particular things you need Him to provide for you. And we see here in the book of Ephesians, He is able to provide. He is able to do all that we ask. All that we ask. We'll begin reading chapter 3, verse 14. Read down to the rest of the chapter. Paying particular attention to verse 20 when we get there. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is referenced. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ there in verse 14. You need to pay particular attention to the fact that once God is mentioned, you need to be looking for God. References to Him in the verses that follow. Because the chapter ends with unto Him, and the Him is God. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He, God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him, I believe the text lays before us, the Him there is still God. Unto Him, one verse 14 opened up with referencing. The one verse 21 is referencing, unto Him, or God, be glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto God be glory. Unto God be glory because He is able. He is able to do all we ask. This is a passage of Scripture where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. There's a few places here, at least three, I think, where Paul gives us the text of his prayer for the Ephesians. And he says in verse number 20, now unto Him, now unto God, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory. First thing we want to notice from that 20th verse is He is able to do. Now unto Him that is able to do. Paul acknowledged his belief that God was able there in 1 Timothy. Likewise, in Hebrews chapter 2, he professed his confidence in the belief that God was able, the Lord was able, to succor his people, help his people. And in this 20th verse, he pronounces his confidence to the Ephesians that he is able to do. He is able to do. Hebrews chapter 11, just notice one verse here in relationship to this thought. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How could Abraham do such a thing? Well, we know he's because he's a man of faith, because of his faith. This is true. But verse number 19 gives us a reason that Abraham was able to offer up Isaac, his only begotten son. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He counted God able. If he killed his son Isaac, he counted God able to raise him again. That's what Paul did in previous two passages we've looked at for the last couple of weeks. He counted God as able. We must account God as able. We want to claim these promises and live the kind of life that the Apostle Paul lived. Or even the kind of life that Abraham lived. He is able to do. But the second thing I want you to notice back there in Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Look at this 20th verse as it's laid out. Now unto him that is able to do. Next key to understanding this verse and the way it's laid out is to go on to that thought. Now unto him that is able to do all that we ask or think. There's some words in between there. But you're not going to really understand or appreciate those words in between there without accounting God able. We must start with believing he is able. But then we must step from he is able to believing he is able to do all. All, A-double-L, all that we ask or think. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse number 26. We'll just read the words in red. Words of Jesus Christ in verse 26 of Matthew 19. With men, this is impossible, but with God, there's that little word, A-double-L. But with God, all things are possible. Paul tells us he is able. Then he tells us he is able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to do it all. There's nothing impossible to him. That's how Paul lived his life. He believed he was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. He believed he had a Lord that was able to help him, to aid him, to relieve him. He believed in a God, he believed in the Lord that was able to do. Not just able to do, but able to do all that Paul asked or thought. Is that your God? Is that your Lord? Is your testimony, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Is that your testimony? You believe he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him on the day you were saved and the promises that he made? Do you believe he's able to do that? To one day bring you into his presence? And as you journey towards that time and that point and that mark, do you believe he's able to help you? To aid you? To relieve you? As you journey towards that mark, do you believe he is able to do all that you ask? Without reservation? Without qualification? Now unto him that is able to do all that we ask or think. That's quite the statement, isn't it? There's nothing I can ask of God he's not able to do. There's nothing, as you go closer and closer to the day you see the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing you can ask that God is not able to do. He's able to do all. I find it amazing that it says he is able to do all that we ask. What do you do with the next part of that verse? There's a real quandary here. Paul believed the Lord was able to do all that he asked. We'll say, okay, that must mean pray or prayed for, because he's praying for the Ephesians. But he believed that the Lord was not only able to do all that he asked, but all that he thought. What does that involve? I thought about Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. We won't turn there. But it says something to the effect that God knows what we have need of. Before we ask, he's able to do all that we ask for, we pray for, we verbalize, or we speak from our hearts words to him. He's able to do it all, and he's able to do all that we think before we ever ask. God knows what we have need of. So before we ever speak, there's a thought there. There's an application there. There's a confidence there that not just He is able to do, but He is able to do all that we ask. Verse 16 and 17, 18 of the text there in Ephesians relates to us what Paul had asked concerning the Ephesians. And he believed God was able to do it. He believed that God was able to do it all. He believed God was able to do all that he asked, prayed for. He was able to do all he thought of, all that is a part of that ask and think. Last part of verse 20 of our text passage. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, he is able to do, he's able to do it all that we ask or think. He's able to do it according to the power that worketh within us. He's able to do it all, whatever we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I just can't come away from the thought that the power that is within us, the power that works within us, must speak of the Holy Spirit. Because He's within us. He abides. He dwells within all of God's truly born-again children. So it's according to, let's just simplify it. He's able to do all that we ask or think according to His power, the power of God that works within us. It didn't have anything to do with Paul. Didn't have anything to do with the Ephesians. Had everything to do with God. Amen. That's why he bowed his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you these things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. Another prayer passage from the apostle. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at this 19th verse. That you might know, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. All the exceeding greatness, the exceeding great power of God. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might know the exceeding greatness of the power of God. Do you understand the wording here? Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? power of God is mentioned. The greatness of his power is mentioned. Why does he throw in the word exceeding there? Because the power of God is great, and he prayed that the Ephesians would know that God's greatness exceeds, God's power, exceeds greatness. It's beyond our understanding. He prayed that they would know the exceeding greatness of his power. To us word, who believe. He is able to do all we ask. As we with the Apostle Paul say, we believe he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him when he saved us. We must continue as we journey through this time with all of its ups and downs and trials and tests and difficulties to believe he is able. That he is able to keep us until that day we're in the presence of the Lord. And as we journey towards when we're taking into the presence of the Lord, he's able to aid us, to help us. He's designed everything to get us there. He's designed everything that we need to get there for his honor and his glory. And as we journey closer to seeing the Lord, we pray. We've got to believe he is able to do all that we ask or think. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto him be glory. Verse 14, connected with verse 21. I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would do these things for you. Unto him be glory. This 20th verse, another one of those passages you got to really look at, meditate upon, study. Just as the passage there in 2 Timothy 1, this 20th verse, as we come to a close, tells us he is able to do. He is able to do all that we ask or think. He is able according to the power that is within us. Look at this 20th verse. That little word, all. He is able to do all. Now let's just back up starting with the word all. Let's just back up and notice the words that are used in reference to that all. Now unto him that is able to do all. Back up. What word do you find? Above. He is able to do above all. You get that? He is able. We must believe in a God who is able to do all that we ask or think. But he's not only able to do all that we ask or think, but he's able to do above all. Man, God's a big God, isn't he? God has done so much in our favor in placing us in Christ, bringing us into relationship with Christ, giving those words to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12. He is guaranteed our presence, our being in the presence of the Lord, because he's able to do it all that we ask for. That he's able to do above all. So you got that which we ask for, that which we think, whatever is involved with that, he's able to do all of that. But God's ability is above all of that. Above all of that. Okay, let's back up another word. You got the word all. God is able to do all. He's able to do above all. Well, it gets a little more complicated here, doesn't it? We find the word abundantly. He is able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to do above all. He's able to do abundantly above all. Abundantly above all. Well, it doesn't stop there. Let's back up and notice another word. All. He's able to do above all. Abundantly, he's able to do abundantly above all. We come back to that word exceeding. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, so we're going to exceed abundantly above, then get to the word all. That's our God. That's the God who's working for us. That's the God who's working with us. That's the God who's given us all that we need to be in the presence of his Son one day. He is able. He's able to do all that we ask or think. He is able to do all according to the power. But he's able not just to do all, but above all, abundantly above all. He is able to do exceeding. So we go beyond abundant, exceeding abundantly above all. That's our God. I hope he's your God. Let's stand together. Have